Street's back, apparently.
Are they ever? Dave, I have no words about what I just experienced. As we record this,
tell me.
The day after I saw Backstreet Boys at the Hollywood Bowl, and they have you, I mean, you've met them and seen them live, I'm sure, in many
I have
different environments.
It's trying to think, and I don't think I ever actually did see, like, I don't think I ever saw a proper concert of theirs.
Oh, wow.
Maybe I did. NSYNC I saw a couple times, but I don't know that I ever did see a Backstreet Boys show. I mean, I saw them when they would, like, you know, perform in the studio and stuff, but I did not even know that they were playing. That was the Hollywood Bowl?
That was the Bowl. And, you know, when you just went to the New Kids on the Block show in Cincinnati,
yes.
did you get to watch yes. some of the show, or what's your
oh, yeah.
experience
yeah,
like there?
Yeah, yeah.
And do you go yeah. out to the audience, or where are you?
Yeah, I sort of, like, I had a pass so I could sort of hang out anywhere, and yeah, so I sort of, you know what, honestly, like, there was, like, a production office, and there, like, there was an entryway into the arena from there, and so I generally hung out at the end of that, like, little passageway, but there was one 45-year-old, drunk on Pinot Grigio, Cincinnati woman, who was given me the eye in a way that made me feel very uncomfortable. So I did. That was a lesson I learned several times throughout the show. I was definitely getting leered at. We danced briefly, and then I realized, oh, no good can come of this. So I kind of I made myself a moving target.
Oh, she thought you were just fresh meat. She saw you and said, "Why else would a man be here?"
No. I think she recognized me from the MTV days and did not understand that I am not her team, so to speak. So I did just sort of move about the place, but yeah. So anyway, it looks like you had excellent seats.
We had that's why I was asking, because I've never experienced anything like this, and I feel like the location we were in is probably something similar to what you would experience at, like, an NKOTB show. Because
yeah.
we were in the
was there like a second stage?
It was we were in the pool circle, which is what they call it, the Hollywood Bowl, because it used to be a pool. You are as close to the stage as you can physically be. And we went, this was a group gift for Kulop's birthday, belated sort of birthday hang for her. So a very worthwhile cause. And my God, did they deliver? I mean, I did make the mistake of, like, the thing about being that close is that for them, there's really nowhere to hide. Like, you're seeing, you're seeing really what's going on behind the eyes in a way that you're not going to see from watching them on the screens, or you're not going to see even from, like, a good seat. Like, we're so close to them that you're hearing the stuff that they'll, like, shout to each other off mic. You're, like, getting hit by their sweat. Like, you're really in, there's, you're like getting,
yeah,
it's almost like you're too close a little bit, because I made the mistake of eating a weed gummy. So then I really started to sort of go internal and reflect on, like, these guys and just what is this moment in time that we're in, and, like, what does it mean for them at, like, age 50 to be doing this show, and are they happy about it, and is this a prison, and, like, are they okay, basically?
Sure.
And I...
Oh, that's a real... That's
yeah, it's not the journey you expect to go on when you're seeing a Backstreet Boys show. And, like, for the most part, I shook it off and, like, had an incredible time. A big part of that is that what I landed on is, like, oh, not only are they okay, this is, you know, their mission in life, and they've embraced it.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
I will say the sure. sort of bold thing they did that I found very surprising is they came out, and I couldn't even tell you what song they started with, because it was not one of the big hits. They saved almost all of the bangers for the full second half. So you're hearing ton of new music, and we know that all of these boy bands are, like, reuniting, and or they're mostly together and they're releasing new music every few years and everything, but, like, I don't think collectively, like, we're paying very much attention to it, even if you are sort of a casual fan the way I am. This was interesting because it was a bit of a gamble, because they're like, well, we're going to force you to pay attention to it and see how you like it. And it kind of worked, because it was like, well, now I will maybe think about downloading that in a way that I would not have if it hadn't been,
okay,
you know, sort of forced upon me. But anyway, God, they're good.
Well, you've followed them into the future. And Matt, that makes you larger than life, if you ask me.
That means the world.
Mm-hmm. I similarly last weekend took a walk down musical memory lane, Garbage and Tears for Fears at the Forum.
Oh God, how was that?
Truly one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. Tears for Fears are so good. They have never sounded better. The new album is very, very good. And they played a lot of it and they never lost anybody even for a minute. Everybody Wants to Rule the World, like third in the set. It was like, oh, we're wow, going there. It was truly, truly fantastic. And Garbage was great as well. This coming Friday, going to the Greek for Bare Naked Ladies, Gin Blossoms, yes. Toe the Wet Sprockets. Yes. So I'm really, we're going for it. We're going for it show-wise this year. We're getting back to it.
What is the Toe the Wet Sprockets song that most of us would know?
Probably All I Want or Walk on the Ocean.
Okay.
All I want is to feel
this close.
Okay, yeah. You know.
Thank you for that.
Love them. Love them so much. Snapped up some third row tickets StubHub.
Well,
exuberantly.
So then I maybe don't eat a weed gummy beforehand because you're going to be close enough that you're going to start, you're going to you're going to get in there in a way that you might not want to, you know? Mentally.
Yeah. I don't want to be an auxiliary gin blossom for the night. I just don't.
Keep it light. But I am excited to be here.
In the meantime, by the way, last weekend was fucking West Hollywood Pride. I had no idea.
Yeah. Did you go to the other thing that you were talking about?
I went to the other thing.
What was that? This is so confusing. We have two prides now. I don't know which one's which.
We have three. And here's the thing. I just Googled Los Angeles Pride because I figured that's what it is. I mean, I guess I knew at some point in my life that West Hollywood and Los Angeles are not the same thing, but it's been a long time. I forgot. So I made note. And now we got a friend who lives along the parade route. We could have parked there. We could hang out on his balcony, whatever. We're getting pictures of Janelle Monáe going by. She was the grand marshal. We had no idea. So anyway, Los Angeles Pride, which I guess is downtown Pride, is this weekend. But last weekend was West Hollywood Pride. We had already made the choice to go to Silver Lake, which is the third thing. That's a whole third thing. And their festival is called Off Sunset. And a couple friends of ours, Bill and Mike, who DJ under the name Ready Freddy, were going to DJ in the late afternoon. And so we said, let's go. So we got the tickets and we went. And we were not inside of like the you know, chain link fence before I saw the first butthole of the day.
Aww.
And it was not, it, you know, you really got to be ready.
Right. And this is the light of day, correct?
Sun high in the sky. Ooh. It's 2:30 in the afternoon. And it's like, you know, I don't want a butthole shame, but it's like it's not in the best shape. And like, not like it's, you know, seen a lot of use, but it was somebody bending down to tie a shoe and there were no bottoms. And I thought, oh, you've done a lot of walking today.
Oh, God.
And maybe a powder or a lotion might have been applied to the area. And we're still really, you know, reimagining our relationship to crowds in this time in history, right? So like walk in and it's like, okay. And then you gotta stand in line at the ATM to get cash, to stand in line to turn in the cash for tickets, to stand in line to turn the tickets in for drinks. So that's a whole three-step process. We decided to like go to the Eagle, which was in the chain link fenced off area, just so that we could like exchange money for cocktails. And immediately it got super crowded. Somebody straight up sneezed in my face. It was like just a degree of crowdedness that I was not ready for. And then we like went outside back to the festival and it's like, and we passed the, you know, the rope bondage tent where, you know, one lesbian has tied up another, and the one who's tied up is crying, and so there's like a degree of humiliation happening. And again, it's day, and like the human puppy play area, a guy with a dog mask is, you know, playing with a squeaker. It was a lot to handle all at once. We did manage to escape to the Silver Lake Hotel, which was also in the area. There's a great little restaurant there called Marco Polo. Met some listeners. Mario.
Oh.
Shouts hello, to Mario for coming over and saying hello and truly rescuing my mood for the day. Managed to decompress, have a burger, you know, have a beer, just breathe. And then we got back in and, you know, it was just, there's a degree of sex positivity that becomes sex ennui, you know? Things can be so, so out there sexual that it's just, you feel like you're in a Spencer Gifts, you know?
Ooh, yeah, and yes.
That's what I felt like.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because to be clear, we're not kink shaming in any way. We celebrate it.
I don't think I'm a prude. Maybe I
am. Yeah. But yeah, there's there's a certain vibe that I think needs to be caught in order to celebrate some extreme expressions of sexuality. And like, it seems like they didn't manage to catch the vibe. They just sort of were just doing it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there was also, I shouldn't talk about this, but I'm going to. There was a man, and we could not shake him. It was just, we saw him every time we turned around. No clothing, but for a little tiny mesh coin purse on it that he wore as like a, thong, like a underwear type of thing.
In the front?
But just the business in the little tiny coin purse. And it was like little tiny business in a little tiny coin purse. And it was like, it seemed to be like the humiliation of it seemed to be part of
the deal. The business is inside the coin purse, you're saying.
The business is inside the mesh coin purse. So very visible. And just active butt plug in the back. Literally just every time we turned around, there he was. It was definitely a jarring start to Pride Month.
And this is in like Sunset Junction, right? That's near Sunset Junction.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of by the Jiffy Lube and the Eagle and all that kind of stuff. I just love that it is
in what is now like a super gentrified, like wealthy, largely hetero area, you know, families.
Yeah.
And stuff.
And a lot of people, yes, a lot of the balconies were like little barbecues and stuff. Like, I think maybe some people thought that they would be like watching the WeHo Pride Parade.
Maybe we'll see Lisa Vanderpump.
They were not. Yeah. No, you're going to see a little tiny dick in a little tiny mesh coin purse. Anyway, if you enjoyed yourself at Off Sunset, God bless you. Again, Mario, thank you for turning my frown upside down. Anyway.
And so,
happy Pride.
That Silver Lake thing is over. WeHo Pride is over. Mm-hmm. This weekend is what we're calling LA Pride, and that's downtown.
LA Pride, which is, I guess, downtown LA Pride. So, yeah. Perhaps we'll see you there. Are you going to go?
I don't know.
Do you want to go?
Not really. I don't know. Okay. I want to have gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Yes. I absolutely do.
But if we went, you know who I'd love to run into if we went there?
Tell me.
This week's guest, Vicky Liu.
Oh, my God.
I mean, is there anybody you'd rather hang out with? I know, half the reason in asking her to come on was just simply to get to spend some time with her. We go way back. My first job in a writer's room, I was a writer's assistant, and she was a staff writer with her writing partner, Bridget Kyle. And that was in 2014, probably. And they have like just sort of skyrocketed to the top of the like TV comedy writing world ever since, and they wrote on The Grinder and several seasons of Superstore and the show Loot that is coming out with Maya Rudolph on Apple TV that looks so good. And they're just the funniest, and you know, they're slowly taking over the world, and I do feel I do feel pride, you know, in honor of LA Pride. I feel a lot of pride for this person's success because she deserves it, and she's just a lovely chat.
She sure is.
So let's get into it. Vicky Lou.
Vicky Lou, you asked if it was your handsome Matt McConkey here, and in a sense it is, but in a sense, Vicky, it no longer is. Because
that's right.
This is now the handsome Matt Grassi.
Oh my God, that's right.
Can you handle?
Yeah.
Congratulations. I don't even know who you are anymore.
I know.
When Vicky and I met, Michael and I had just started dating.
Yeah. So you've seen the whole thing.
I feel like I didn't know. It was like loosey-goosey when I met, because you were like,
He was like, it was very early days, and he had just moved back to Canada, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to land this plane as much as I want to, but it obviously worked out in my favor.
Congratulations. Saw the wedding photos. So beautiful.
Unbelievably gorgeous. Beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Breathtaking. People should just not get married for like the next year or so, because it's like it's been done extremely well.
It was embarrassing. I'm only showing people your wedding photos when I talk about weddings. I don't even show them mine. I'm just like, no.
It does seem like you have, from Instagram, it seems that you've had a flurry of weddings recently.
Yes. I think, you know, while COVID is still going very strong, everyone's like, we're just going to do it. I can't hold off this wedding anymore, which is totally understandable because we've just been holding off too many celebrations. So it's been fun though. Everyone's just like finally doing it and getting together and stuff. And it's been good. It's so beautiful.
It is. It's a summer of love, quite frankly.
Dave. You're right. You're right, Dave.
I know I'm right. And we record this on the day of the release of Top Gun Maverick. So in that way, it's a summer of love as well. It's a summer of sex and sweat and love. How are you celebrating, Vicky Lou?
How am I celebrating it? What am I doing? Well, I guess I have to go see Top Gun Maverick. Yes. I didn't realize.
Apparently you do. The reviews are legitimately very good.
Are they? Okay. I mean, I was a fan of Top Gun. I liked it more than I realized. I remembered liking it. And I was like, you know what? This was a fun movie, but it was also very, very sad.
Yeah.
It's very sad, but also a queer classic.
I know. You know? Classic volleyball scene. Mm-hmm. Do you think they're going to recreate the volleyball scene?
There's no way they won't. There's no way they won't.
I just noted from the trailers that there's some, it's I think, a football scene. Oh. You know, I think they tried to tone down just how gay it was. I don't know if they succeeded, but
they're like, football is less gay than volleyball, and we're like, okay.
We do see a shirtless Glenn Powell like clapping enthusiastically. So that there's some sort of a sport is played on a beach without shirts. Okay. So we do have that to look forward to.
Okay, thank God. Okay, good.
Yeah, thank God. But what are you watching, reading, listening to, enjoying?
What am I watching? What am I reading? All the things. You know, I did start listening to Harry Styles' new album. I'll admit it.
Vicky.
You're talking to the biggest fan of that album.
Oh my gosh. I'm like New Direction. One Direction, I like missed the boat on that. They're fine. I'm not like, you know. And then Harry Styles came out with this album and I'm like, is he actually very talented?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm late to this game. Obviously, everybody knows this. I'm extremely late to this game. But I very much enjoy it.
Yeah, he's a good album. A once-in-a-generation superstar. And the album is fantastic. It's one of those rare ones where it's like, when each new song starts, I'm like, oh, no, this is the one. This is the one.
Yeah, this is the song.
I will fall in love with a song and then just listen to it over and over and start to ignore the rest of the album. Yeah. This is the rare album where I have not been able to do that because each new song I love more than the last.
Oh my God, that's huge praise coming from Dave Holmes.
Well, I mean, it's just an extraordinarily good album. It's the soundtrack of what promises to be a very good summer.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Now, Dave, I love you. Your predictions for summer. Watch Top Gun.
Yes. Listen. I am nothing if not an optimist. Have you been to Harry's house? You know that there is a physical pop up on La Cienega Boulevard.
No.
Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean?
It's called Harry's House. It's on La Cienega, like by the Belmont and all that kind of stuff. And I actually don't know what goes on inside there, but the lines are down the block.
So it's like an art installation that's like, hey, come to Harry's house. Or
he has merch. He does, like, I think it's nail polish.
Oh, good.
I want to say. So I think you're going there for a shopping excursion.
Okay.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll see you guys later this week. We'll all go together.
Perfect.
Let's go to Harry's house.
Harry's house.
Get over it.
Yeah, done.
But Dave, you're in New York.
No, I'm not. I am right here in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Studio City.
Well, I just made that up.
It does seem like he should be in New York, though, doesn't it?
He's got such a like cool New York vibe.
Oh, thank you. But no, here in Los Angeles, checked out.
Thank you. All right.
Where are you in this gorgeous study?
I'm in Los Angeles. I'm in like the corner of my kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping to the least amount of noise seclude myself over here. But yeah, I'm over in West Adams area. My wife and I, we just purchased a home, our first home.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a lovely area.
Everyone is telling us it's up and coming, is what they say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But no, it's great over here, and it's terrifying to have a house, but we have one, and we have it, and hopefully we know what to do with it.
How recently did you move in?
We moved in November. Yeah.
Mm, so it's fresh.
It's fresh. It's still fresh. It's still fresh. But it's an old, it's like 1911. It's like one of those old craftsmen. Mm. So most of
so
it's
cool.
been redone. But there's also things that are like, well, this chimney will definitely collapse on you. And we're like, okay, good. Okay, we'll get that checked out. Yeah. And they're like,
sure.
And it's always like now? Or, and they're like, maybe like you have like 10 more years. And then to me, I'm so maybe a not me problem. Maybe.
Right. Yeah. We might be okay.
We'll just wait. We'll wait 8 years. If we're still here, then we'll definitely take a look at it again. Otherwise, I'm just going to pretend it's totally fine.
Well, when you and your wife are tucked in, cozied at the end of the night in your gorgeous new Craftsman, what are you watching these days?
Okay. What are we watching? Well, we're definitely watching RuPaul's All Stars.
Of course.
Which is the new season.
Thoughts on the new season?
It's great. I'm actually very excited. It seems it's truly an all-stars of all-stars. Everyone is.
Yeah.
I do like the twist where no one's going home.
Yeah.
It makes it feel like all the drag queens are letting loose, having fun. There's not as much pressure to not be on the bottom. I mean, obviously, you want to get one of those badges, but you already kind of felt it where everyone's just putting out their best and like getting along, and there's nobody that's like necessarily undercutting each other. Yeah, who knows what dram is coming in the future.
Yeah.
But I'm sure some's come, but yeah, I felt the same way where I was like, oh, it kind of seems like this isn't going to be a season of like fights and rivalries and stuff, and I'm surprised that I actually like that.
Yeah, I mean, I know they edit, there are just like alliances, of course, you know, the
drama. Sure.
But you're like, it's like, how much drama is that really going to create? Everyone is so talented, too. It's amazing.
It's a good bunch. Do you at any time put on your like writer, producer hat and say, how do we fix Snatch Game?
Except for this season. The most recent one was the rare exception. It was extraordinary.
But here's the thing. It was like two or three good performances out of 16. That counts as like a really
good
Snatch
saying
Game.
Right. But sometimes it's so bad that that seemed like such a you know, it seemed perfect.
Well, it seemed like the last regular season, I don't know if you guys saw it, it was...
I fell off.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It was so
that
bad.
That was real
and
tough.
They lean into it. They're just like, I guess everyone's just really bad and we're going to make everybody pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
And to be clear, since this is a World of Wonder show, we're just saying that Snatch Game was bad, not the season.
We love the season,
obviously.
Opinions?
I'm watching everything. Truly, RuPaul Drag Race got me through the pandemic. We started just rewatching.
Yeah.
We binged it. Just we're like, what's the show? Everyone was binging a show. What's the show we're going to rewatch and re-binge? And it was Drag Race because, you know, gets you out of it, makes you laugh, makes you smell, makes you cry.
Who are your all-timers?
I mean, I really do love Raja, and it's so exciting to see him back on the show. Mm-hmm. He's always been one of my number ones.
And the gray is working.
Obviously, because the gray is working. He's just a classic, beautiful man. Love that he's, you know, an Asian queen that won. Celebrate that. Gosh. Love Jinx Monsoon. I'm just listening to All Stars. I know there's like some...
Oh, Jinx.
So incredibly impressive, Jinx Monsoon.
Truly. Truly.
And then gosh, I don't know. Alaska. Very catty Alaska.
Sure.
Who are my other favorites? It's like, you remember, I'm like, I love all of them.
Yeah. It's hard not to.
No, I love Chicks and Mattel. Too silly. Mm-hmm. Classic, the funny one. I think I love, yeah. Dave, to your question of Snatch Game. I mean, I know some of them have bombed, but it is tough. It's like you want it to be, I don't know what your issue with it, right? Is like, do you get in some, and they have to have some writers in there kind of just,
yeah.
Hey, let's finagle it away. Let's yeah. get some setups for people.
Right, right.
And get some jokes in there.
Yeah.
But I can't tell. But do you enjoy, is part of it, because sometimes you watch it, it's a little cringy, mm-hmm. and you're like, ah, that person's bombing. Mm-hmm. Is that part of the fun of it? Or do you want to see them all succeed?
I want to see a good show. I want to see I want to see somebody like do what Jinx Monsoon did and has done 1,000 times over with yeah. Little Edie Bouvier and Judy Garland and like really yeah. understand a character extremely well.
Yeah.
But then sometimes it's just like, oh, you're going to do like the Swedish Chef or whatever? Like, no, somebody already, like the Muppets did that. You can't do like somebody yeah. else's comedy character as your thing, which blows my mind that people yeah. feel like they should do that. Also, I just don't get why it's there because I never show up at a drag show being like, I want to see some good impressions tonight. Like, I want to see a Fred Travellino right. show yeah. tonight. But it's, I don't know. It's just a weird one. And every time it comes around, it's like everyone's excited. And then it ends up being sometimes very difficult to watch.
I know. I think like 3% of the drag queens are excited. And everyone yeah. else is like, God damn it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Don't
yeah,
fuck this up.
Yeah. It's the one moment where, I mean, I'm delusional enough to watch it sometimes and be like, I could probably do yeah. this. You know, never, haven't done, I did drag, you know, good amount when I was 5 years old, haven't since. But then we get to Snatch Game and I'm like, absolutely not.
No.
Yeah.
I would not.
Absolutely
not. I would not. But I feel like they should audition. They should audition their piece for like 2 minutes.
Yes.
And then people should be like, hey, that's great. I think that's good enough for a fun show.
Yeah.
And then also be like, no, mm-hmm. don't do that.
Yeah. Don't do it. Change your name.
Go it would be it. A good, like almost like a mini series sort of spinoff season of just like the Snatch Game project
yes.
where okay. you people like actually workshopped their characters
yeah.
and we, and you know, judges help, you know, work them that we could have, you know, comedians come yeah. in and fix guys yes. let's sell
oh my god
this.
Did we just develop a new show? What are we doing here?
Let's sell it.
Let's do it. Oh my god, the don't oh do gosh. A TikTok star episode is going to be so good. I am absolutely ready to produce yeah. that one.
What else are you watching these days, Vicky? Oh
my god, I'm so boring. I'm not watching. I watch mostly a lot of dramas. We're watching a lot of sci-fi things. We're watching all the Star Treks. I'm such a nerd.
Oh,
all the
Star Treks. I didn't know you went in that nerdy direction.
I know. I didn't either. But I'm watching the Star Treks. I'm watching Picard, watching Ooh. Strange New Worlds. Those are, they've really branched out. They're just like, we're going to keep going. Star Trek's going to keep going. And there's like animated ones. Lower Decks, which is very funny. It's sort of the parody yep. of Star Trek that we all... That's clearly made by people who love Star Trek, which is why it's great. And gosh, what else am I watching? We just started watching the new season of Gentleman Jack.
Oh.
For some queer television.
I am not familiar with that. I
didn't
all.
Realize that Gentleman Jack was still with us.
I know,
us.
It just came back.
Explain.
It just came back.
What is it?
What is Gentleman Jack... Dave.
Explain to Dave what Gentleman
yeah,
Jack is, because I'm
it's
only vaguely familiar.
Rings a bell, kind of, but what is it?
It's about this, it's on HBO Max.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of like taking a real historical person, sort of fictionalizing and dramatizing her. It's about this woman, Ann Lister, who kind of went about town. It was like back in the, I don't know, the time frame, back in the olden days. She's dressed how we all dress now, just sort of very masculine presenting. And everyone's like, what's this? She runs her own business. And then of course that's causing a big hullabaloo with every other man in town. It's just like, you're telling me she wants to run her own business? This woman is crazy.
And wear pants?
And wear pants? Oh my God, something's wrong with her. She's crazy. She's a freak. So that's like the feel of it. But it's back in the olden days and she's looking for her love. And it's a lot of drama about really like her land and truly like her trying to run a business, and also the romance aspect of it, of courting this young woman who's like, oh my God, am I a lesbian also? And she's like, yes, totally, totally, you are. But I love all the portrayal. She's just like, I've never done this before. And she really is just like kind of a dude. She's like, yeah, I've never done this either. You're definitely the first lady been with. And it's like, not true. She's older and she's been with many, many women. And it's like, Anne, don't lie. But it's also, I guess the story is, it's Anne Lister and her romantic partner is Anne Walker. So they're two Annes. It's like a very classic lesbian tale, two ladies dating with the same Anne, the Annes.
Anne.
And that's sort of it. It's just like an old time, any kind of old timey drama I'm very into, even though not a lot is happening. I'm just in. I don't know why. I'm just super in. It's like great. Just the high drama, but very low stakes is sort of my sweet spot.
Oh, that's a good time. That's a good time. What are your formative historical shows? What'd you grow up watching?
Grow up watching? I mean, you know, we were really into Downton Abbey. That was like the big one that we first came across. And that my favorite is always just, I knew I was in because there's an episode where the youngest daughter wears pants. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the entire, I think it's like a 2-episode arc. It's just like, she's wearing pants. How are we going to fix this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what your true love is, shows about women wearing pants.
I know, that's actually, yeah, like that's the pattern that we're finding. Because it's so outright, every time you just set it back, you're like, what's the drama that we can provide for women? And it's like, you know what? Put on a pair of pants. And then everyone's losing their goddamn minds.
Fucking minds.
Yeah. I'm intrigued by the new movie. It seems like they are trying, like, you know, there's always sort of been this sort of bummer thing with one gay guy character in Downton Abbey where he's like a villain and he's always there's something a little yucky about it, but it seems like they're hinting that in the new movie he's getting some kind of happy ending, which also seems implausible, but I'm intrigued how they're gonna land that. Vicky,
Matt, so we met
and it was, but my first time in a writer's room, your first time as a, working as a professional writer,
yes.
We were just babies then, and you and your partner, Bridget, first time working together officially, and you have gone on to become, you know, legends. But what is your sort of origin story? You know, what were you up to right before then? How did you and Bridget get together?
Yeah, we did meet when my life completely changed, because before then I was an assistant, and prior to that I was a PA, as people do, production assistant.
Even then, were you on, in your mind, were you on the track for writing? Was that the goal even when you got the PA job?
No, initially I went to USC Film School back in the day, and initially when I was on the production track, I kind of thought I was going to be a director or editor. That was a little bit where my interest lied. And went through the production track, had a lot of fun, kind of realized that editing, it's a tough world to be in because you're just in that room by yourself for a long, long time. And I was like, I'm getting lonely. I can't do this. It's really hard, but it's great. And then just started, you know, you get out of film school and you have high hopes. And my first job as... you get into the biz as a production assistant. And I do remember my very first job was on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew, like the very first season.
Wow.
Back in the day.
Oh, Celebrity. I thought you said Celebrity
Rehab.
No. And I was like, wait, what?
Well, I mean, they certainly did Celebrate Rehab.
They were Celebrating.
There's that too.
They yeah. were. They were right, a little right. bit.
Who were your celebrity celebrants?
It was that first season with like, I want to say like Bridget Bardot was one of them.
Bridget Bardot,
the singer from 311. Am I thinking of
Bridget, the one who was the other Bridget? I know who you mean. The one who was
the tall one
with Flava Flav.
Oh, Brigitte Nielsen.
Bridget Bardot is a French actress who passed away many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And then it was like the singer from 311. I was going to say 9/11. Oh my God, you guys.
No, Crazy Town.
Crazy Town. What's the guy? The people who sing the butterfly song.
Crazy Town. Shifty Shell Shock.
Crazy Town.
Was his name. It continues to be his name. He's remarkably still with us.
This is good. Okay, well, obviously I know all my references. I'm looking really good in front of Dave Holmes right now.
No. It's all good.
This is my life, Nikki. I mean, welcome.
Let me just be absolutely clear. Nick Hexum of 311 has never gone to rehab.
I don't want to besmirch anyone's name, especially Bridget Bardot. You know, certainly not Bridget Bardot. But it was, wow, it was my first PA job. Day one, and I'm not exaggerating, day one I get in there and they're like, okay, good, the PA's here. And they hand me a plunger and they're like, one of the bathroom stalls is clogged.
Oh, no.
You have to go unclog it. And I was like, hey.
Oh, my God.
Hollywood, here we are. Thank God I made it. But it was fine. That was part of my journey. That's a very humbling job to do. So I did PA work, just years and years and years of PA work. Really thought I was going to live and die as a PA. But got into, shifted over to a showrunner's assistant. And, well, met my dear writing partner, Bridget Kyle, as I was an office PA. And she was a writer's assistant at Family Guy. And I was an office PA there. We met up. Obviously, sparks, chemistry, all of that. All the writing romance that you hear about platonically, just in case anyone can't pick up on that.
Sure.
We kind of left Family Guy to become showrunner's assistants on another show. Started writing together just as an experiment, just to see, hey, can we do this? Also, maybe the show that we're on will offer a freelance script, because oftentimes that happens. They had, at the time, had a full sitcom series of 22, I believe. We were writing together just to see if we could get this freelance script to team up. We finished the script. Show gets canceled. We're like, okay, cool. Great. But we have the script and we handed it to our bosses at the time. They're very nice. They read it, passed it along to their agents. And then it kind of just snowballed from there where, you know, and just to go back, I did always like writing. I used to write just on the side of being like, while I'm doing this production track, maybe I'm not going to stop writing. I would, my career was a little different. I wrote a lot of poetry and prose back in the day. Very sad, like unrequited love stuff, as we do, as we do, I know.
Do you still have any of those materials?
I do, and it'll never see the light of day unless somebody digs. It means somewhere on the internet. I don't know why I'm telling you guys that. Don't look it up. Nobody look it up. But it's just like an outlet of creative. So it's just like the two worlds coming together. And I also thank sweet Bridget Kyle for sort of bringing it out in me more of being like, write comedy and to the two of us together finishing a script, finishing a project. And it just worked out. Like we're always on the same page about things and we really take ideas out from each other. And it just sort of became something that was the most successful path for me, obviously. And then it led me to Matthew at Marry Me, our first show together. And that was it. And that kind of has been a journey ever since, just getting into this world. And I've found that I guess I'm pretty okay at it because I'm still doing it.
Apparently, something's working.
I know, something's working.
So after Marry Me, you went straight to Superstore,
after
right?
Marry Me, we went to The Grindr. That was on Fox for a season.
Oh, that was
our second show. And we were there for, also just lasted one season, but with Rob Lowe. And it was also a very silly show on Fox.
That was a fun show.
That was a fun show. Everyone... Yeah, we liked it. It was a lot. I mean, it was a tough show to run, but I think what the showrunners wanted and what Fox wanted at the time were different. I think ultimately what led, as the creative differences go, led to it not coming back. And then after Grindr, we went on to Superstore, and we joined Superstore the second season. And then we were with them for all of eternity, until the end of time.
Till the glorious end.
To the glorious end, yes.
Just six seasons. Murderer's row of comedy talent on Superstore. Truly, like that cast is so super stacked.
Yeah.
Irene White, who plays Carol, is one of my closest friends.
Oh, my God, yes.
Pure evil in real life, as on the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, truly, it's... Yeah, like it was so many good people being used so well. It's a great show.
No, we got so, like, everyone was just, and I'm not even any sort of BSing at all. Everyone was so funny and easy to work with that, you know, we came in the second season, everyone's very comfortable with each other already. And it was as if we'd always been there and so welcoming. And Nico Santos, I love improv wise, you throw out a joke and they were just like so on board. And yeah, we got really lucky. And then also like Irene and all of our side characters, it was such a, you know, well-rounded show because you could rely also on these sort of like guest extras that we had that we continuously kept bringing back. And it felt so, it just, at least for me, I feel like it really rounded out the world and it felt like a real workplace where you have your mains, obviously, but you can always jump to and throw a joke to someone we've seen only a handful of times and they would just nail it and it would feel so satisfying. So it was great. It was great in that setting.
And it was also this like very rare beast these days, the network comedy that actually comes back for multiple seasons.
That was, we were all surprised. We were like, they want another season? Okay. No, just as the way TV goes, as you guys know. Yeah. So it was good. And it does feel weird. It's the closest I've ever gotten to, obviously, Matt, I miss you constantly, but it's the closest I've ever gotten to a writing staff. And, you know, to be together for that many years, you know, we still talk to each other. We're going to each other's weddings, still hanging out, still chatting with each other. We have a Peloton group that we text with each other about that we still do.
Oh, so I'm
a Peloton head. Yeah. What's this look?
And do you ever do the live, the rides where you can check in with each other on the camera?
We've done a few live rides, but the check-in with the camera, it's like a 2-second check-in because that camera angle is not flattering. I don't know who's keeping their camera on at all times for your friends to see, because you'll turn it on and it's your forehead and you're sweaty and you're breathing hard and then...
It's the same vibe as when you accidentally turn your phone to self-view like holding it down underneath your chin, like at the most horrifying angle.
And you see yourself and you're like, that's not what in my head I thought I looked like exercising.
Yeah.
I think I'm looking like the instructor, but that's very inaccurate. I look terrible. Yeah, I'm just like a wet mop. And so it's just like, no, go away. So, but we do check in, we'll say hi, and then, but we'll do a couple of live rides every now and then.
That's friendship. That is a bond.
It is.
That's
a special bond. It is. The Peloton friendship is strong. Yeah.
What do you think, like chemistry-wise, why do you think you and Bridget have worked together so beautifully for so many years? Like, what was it that you brought to the table versus what she brought? And
well, what's that magic formula? I have the looks, obviously. She has the brains.
Well, this makes lots of money.
For saying
that's the magic combo.
The obvious.
No, why does it work? I don't know. I think a lot of it is we really just have such a similar sense of humor where it's that thing where if you're in a room of people, someone does something weird, particularly on Zoom, and you look at that person and all you have to do is sort of like be like, that was weird. And the other person goes, absolutely, that was weird. We are going to talk about this later. And just acknowledging the smallest, weirdest thing that no one else seemingly seems to have clocked and has just like completely glossed over. And that, I feel like, encompasses our friendship a little bit, where so many times something will happen and our take on it will be almost the same. It's like everyone is seeing it this way, but... you and I, we saw it this way, and that feels like very comforting, where you're just someone who can, you don't feel crazy because you're like, that was wrong, right? That was not okay. And the other person's like, that was absolutely crazy. That person was being a crazy face. And you're like, thank you. I just don't feel alone anymore in the world. And, you know, we just do a lot of bits that my wife will always, when we're together, my wife just is like, I'm trying to talk with you guys, but you two are just doing a bit. So I'm going to like go get a drink.
Just lost in bit land.
So I'm going to go get a drink and you guys can finish off your bit. And we're like, thank you. That I appreciate that. That's what we're doing.
There's also, I will say, like, you're both hilarious, obviously, but there's also a kindness there and an absence of mean-spiritedness, which is, I don't know, somewhat rare in the comedy world, in my experience.
Oh, I know, which is sad. It's always sad to hear that. I don't understand why. Because we're just writing fart jokes, guys. It's not, you know, we can be nice to each other. It can be very, I mean, I know what you mean. Like, there's been some sort of writers, and it feels so competitive, and it feels so like, I'm funny, I'm going to be arrogant about it. And it's like, I never want to feel like that. I feel like everyone is funnier. You get in a room, you get so lucky to be in a comedy room. Everyone is so funny. Everyone's story is like so interesting and fascinating. And that's sort of how we try to go into it, of making it collaborative as much as possible. I feel like that's when, you know, when the whole room laughs at a joke, that's what you're like, great, that joke wins, basically. And I sort of learned that from David Kass. Like, he ran Marry Me so collaboratively, and it was so harmonious, and we got so lucky. And I learned from that environment of being like, best joke wins, not necessarily like the guy who's coming in the strongest, or the guy who's not laughing and being really quiet until they have the joke and they're like, this is the joke, that's the best joke. And that's a different environment, sure, but for me and Bridget, we like making friends, and we like talking, and we like telling stories and jokes. And yeah, I think that's also what helps, is that we're both nice people, we hope. I mean, we're constantly making fun of people, but also we want the best for everyone. We want the best for everyone.
You're essentially good people. Now, I couldn't help but notice when we were talking about what you're watching that almost none were comedies.
I know. That's bad. I should probably watch more comedies.
Well, it's not good or bad. But are there any current comedies that you watch? Or is it like, can you not stop yourself from being like, yeah, I would have done that differently? Whatever.
Sometimes I feel like it's a little bit of work. I don't want it to be. But sometimes I'm like, I don't know, that's a weird choice. Why would you do that? But no, I mean, I will say the comedies that I did have recently finished watching was What We Do in the Shadows is one of my favorites. That's probably my jam. I think it's wonderful. It's such a wonderful.
Love it.
So that's sort of the area that we like, of just very silly. I love anything that's like just super, super silly. Because there's this sort of this new genre of like, we're kind of funny, but not.
But right. We're
like also, which is, I think it can be very good also, but I tend to want to escape and just watch something that, I love when people just take big swings, and it's just like incredibly weird and silly.
Yes.
Like Pen 15 is probably one of my tops as well.
Yeah.
Two things, super silly and beautiful friendships. And those are my jams, yeah.
I'm with you. What is your meet cute story of when your wife?
This is going to sound so typically lesbian. So I was dating this other girl. Well, I was interested in this other girl, and this girl's like, our worlds were combining. She's like, I'm going to bring my friends, and you'll bring your friends, and we'll all just commingle. And it's like, great. And we're hanging out, and my wife's name is Haley, and I meet Haley, but at the time, she's kind of with another girl. She says that they were broken up, but I always tell this story and I hope she's okay with it. She says that they were broken up, but I specifically remember like looking over and they were sort of like tickling and wrestling on the ground. And I'm like, okay, well, something is happening there still. So that was that interaction, but I was interested in this other girl. We dated for a little bit, found out that at the time Haley did have a crush on me, and this other girl that I was dating knew that, and she was like, totally, totally, I'm gonna try and get you and Vicky together. But then cut to, she just ended up dating me instead. But it was like very brief, and we ended up realizing, hey, we're just better off as friends, this one girl. And then
this is a tangled web,
which is, yeah. And then she ended up introducing us and getting us together with other friends trying to like push us together. But at the time, we'd been friends for about 2 years. And finally, we were both single at the same time. It finally happened. And through other friends pressuring us to go out together, it finally happened. Armika wasn't super cute. Her first move was, again, I don't know if I should be telling the story. Our first move, I had a big drag birthday at Hamburger Mary's, as one does, and everyone's dancing, everyone's drinking and we all got too drunk. And I remember she ended up giving me a lap dance. This is the story we'll tell our grandchildren. She ended up giving me a lap dance and then we ended up making out for a little bit. And then that was the end of it. And then it was like the next morning, everyone was texting me like, do you remember what happened last night? And I said, yes, I do remember. I do remember what happened last night. And that's sort of like, that's sort of the beginning. We started texting each other and it sort of came off from there. So it just started off as like a drunken lap dance, which is like a beautiful story to tell,
I think so.
Just, yeah. Just
what
a
was the song?
Beautiful story. Oh, Dave, I don't remember. I was too intoxicated.
It was 3:11.
Bridget Bardot was singing something.
Bridget Bardot was singing the hook. That's beautiful. So yeah. You mentioned grandchildren. Are there children in your plan?
There are. We are trying to have some kids. We're trying to have some babies right now. It's tough. That's sort of like the latest thing we've been doing is trying to have children. And as two ladies, it's not super easy. So that's the lesson I've learned of, this is my soapbox moment where, a lot of gay parents get a lot of hate. And it's like, listen, the amount of hoops I have to jump through to get a kid, you can't tell me that I'm not going to be a good parent because you have to really want a kid. You're not picking one up and just being like, oops, like there's no oopsie babies. There's nothing like that. There's so much work involved that to be a parent, you're like constantly checking in and being like, again, you really want this? And we're like, yes, I really want to have a child. I really want to have a family. And so you're constantly having to push yourself forward in doing that because there's just like so many things to jump through and it's not cheap and it takes a lot of time and patience, but we've been getting through it. So we're doing IVF also. So it's a little like even more like things to jump through. So it's wild, but we'll see. Again, am I ready to be a child parent? I don't know, but.
I think you're ready. I think you're going to be an excellent mama. And are you sort of just taking it one day at a time in terms of like what it would ideally look like, assuming everything works out? Like, are you like, let's have one and then see how that feels? Or do you want a big brood in a dream world?
Our cap is 2. We're hoping for just 2 is like our kind of ideal. So we'll see if that ends up happening. But we're going to try with 1 first and see how the rest of the journey plays out. And if it works out, then we'll have another one. But yeah, it was... And she Haley's going to carry. My beautiful wife is volunteering to carry. I'm not totally interested in doing that part. And then 2 ladies, you're just like, it's sort of a negotiation of, hey,
yeah,
somebody's
gonna
do it.
Get out of that.
I know some women take turns, but I think my wife is interested in carrying. She wants to be pregnant. She's the woman that's like, I can't wait to be pregnant. I want to be pregnant and like I want to carry and have that feeling. And I'm like, that's amazing. I don't have any of those feelings. So that really works out for us.
That works very
totally
nicely.
Happy to do literally everything else in the pregnancy. Happy to anything else that you need or want. I'm there for it. I just not carrying the child. But no, it was an interesting process. Picking a sperm donor was an interesting process. It really was.
What does that look like now? Because in my mind, it's like the sort of 90s thing of like looking through a binder of guys' resumes.
It's similar, but everything's digital now. So you're just on a website and it really is. I never really done, I missed like the Tinder dating apps, phase, but that's at least from what everything was described. It felt like we were looking at dating profiles and we're just looking at men. And that was
because you do see their faces,
you see their baby photos, and sometimes they also will include adult photos, not all the time. Sometimes I'll have both. Most of the times it's just baby photos. Sometimes there's no photo, which I find absolutely crazy. I was like, not even a just gonna go completely blind of like this child, but it really is. It's never cemented to me actually more that I'm a lesbian than like looking at these like men's profiles where I was just like, ugh, no, no. And my mom was like, you're not actually dating these men. You just have to like pick who you think is the most qualified. I was like, I know. And it's so elaborate. It's their background, their history. They even ask them questions like, if you're going to have a, they'll ask those questions of, if you could have dinner with anybody, like, who would it be? And it's like, do you have any secret talents? Is there, and there's like a little audio portion where they could either say something, or some people will sing, some people will play the piano, and just to like show their talent. Wow. Some people are like, I'm a photographer, here are my photos. So it's really, it's so in depth. And so you just really get really a good scope of who the donor is going to be, which is like crazy.
And what was important to you two with the donor? Were you like, let's just find the hottest guy, or?
You know, it's funny. I didn't want someone, and this is flawed thinking. I was like, I don't want my donor to be too good looking, because I don't want my kid to be too good looking, because I want them to work hard in life. I want them to really strive for a good personality. Fair. At least that's just like my experience of like not being like too good looking. And then just, it's interesting, because as we went on the journey, you know, what we thought we wanted sort of changed, and what I didn't realize how picky I was until we started reading these things, and I was just being completely, you know, no rhyme or reason to how picky I was. And it was just like, one guy's answer was like, who would you have dinner with? And he said George Washington. And I was just like, bad answer. Next. Out. Mm, yeah, I was like,
yeah, that's disqualifying.
Yeah. I was like, that's the wrong answer. I don't really know why that just bothered me. So I was like, next. And we just wanted someone, it was as small as our donor. He said something in his like write-up that was something along the lines of, you know, I'm such a sucker. It was like, I helped take care of my mom and I help her out a lot. It was like one thing that was like, oh, that's very nice. And the other thing was, you know, in life, I just want to go around and eat everything and anything that's out there in the world. And it's so small, but it was the thing that at least my wife and I connected, because we also have that same attitude. We just love going out and having food adventures and being open to eating anything and everything that's out there. And it was that. So it's like, so it's like, you know, nothing that's of significance to this child of what they look like, or they're obviously his genetics are also like good and everything. He looks like a normal man. So all of that lined up. And then that small little personality trait is what attracted us to it. So it really is like, while you're just looking at it, it's just like small things that pop out like that.
And is your, like, what's your thinking, or what are the options, or how do people approach the idea of like, you know, would you ever want this donor to have the option of meeting the kid down the road, or?
Yeah, they have a couple options when you're doing it, which is all, it's all sort of on the kid side, which is nice. There was a couple different levels. I'm trying to remember. There was one that was like anonymous for all of time. You just never have to. And then there's one that's when the child is 18, they can choose to have one interaction with this donor, can reach out like once. And then there's, I think, like the third level that's like, you can just, once the child is 18, they can interact with the donor at any amount of time, sort of on the donor. Like at that point, you're out of the picture. And if they want to keep interacting, they can keep interacting. And we, I believe, chose just the one where when our child's 18, they can kind of determine what they want to do, because we don't have any issues with if they want to find their donor. He's available.
Yeah.
He's out there. They can definitely go and reach out to if they want any more information. But like, hopefully our kid won't be like, I'm looking for something to fill a void. Like that I don't have.
Right.
So we're hoping that the environment that we were just out of curiosity, you can reach out to your donor, but hopefully not because, you know.
Yeah. You're 18 and you feel like maybe having one food adventure with the guy, and maybe that's it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That would be beautiful. But we'll see. Yeah. But it is funny. It's that whole process is so weird, because you also get alerts of when you're shopping, you have to get like the vials, and they have things that are just like low vial alert. And you're like, oh, this person must be very popular. This firm must be, it's just like flying off the shelves. So then you're
it's like
intrigued.
QVC.
Yeah. It's just like, listen, you got to get this sperm. It is hot. It is going crazy. So you got to get this one. And then there's some that's like, there's a lot. And you're like, why is that? Why is there so much? Why isn't anyone buying that sperm?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you, if you can say, what are you and Bridget working on?
Well, we just finished an Apple TV show called Loot, which we're writing on with Maya Rudolph and Michaela J. Rodriguez. Both amazing.
Amazing.
That's airing June 24th on Apple TV. And that was sort of the last thing we worked on. And then we have this sort of overall development deal with Universal. And that's, we're developing, as they say. And then a couple of other things in the works. Yeah, I think we're just going around. We have an idea that we're pitching, which I'll keep to myself for now, just in case someone steals it. No, it's not.
I'm sure they will. They're already stealing our Snatch Game spinoff idea. So
Snatch Game Workshop.
Keep that one close to the vest. Yeah.
And then, yeah, so we're mostly doing that and we're kind of pitching around. We'll probably end up staffing on another show at some point, just because that's how it works. And we'll see. We'll see if we end up making another show or jumping onto another show. We're just writing. We're just writers for hire, really, even though we're on this overall deal. Happy to be in a room, happy to help write someone's show. Yeah, I do miss, you know, we were on Zoom for Loot, and I think the new edict is going to be in person, like this sort of upcoming rounds of shows.
Like the next time you're in a room, you think you'll probably
think
be in a physical
but
room.
I who knows? Nobody knows, oh, obviously. Wow. But I don't know, I kind of miss it. Obviously, the convenience of Zoom is great. You're here, you Zoom. You jump on a Peloton during lunch, you come back, it's totally fine. But I do miss the in-person of it a little bit. I feel like there's sort of a nice chemistry when you're physically in a room together with people that is a little bit, has been missing.
And just the missing the lunch order process, you know, getting to do that.
I was just going to say I miss talking about lunch for like 2 hours before you have to order lunch and just having a whole, yeah. Like, what are we eating? We eat again. Mendocino Farms again.
And everyone says that about rooms, but yes. But truly, that was 75% of the conversation at Energy in the Marry Me room was, yeah, no exaggeration, around lunch. Big fights broke out. I mean, it was...
That was a very stressful lunch situation. Do you remember really the Wanted posters?
Yeah.
There's more too.
Of course, I had Wanted posters made with my face on it for choosing Gracias Madre.
It was for bad lunch ordering.
Gracias Madre. Well, I might be on their side on that one. What were the hot places? What were the popular Marry Me places?
There were like places that like at the time were like to me very like fancy expensive restaurants,
yeah,
that like I would never have gone to. But this was 10 years ago or something. Like I don't remember now.
So now it's probably like whatever. It's like everyone's getting sushi or whatever.
Yeah. What would it even be now after this stop down? I have no idea what's even around. We just settle on Mendocino Farms again?
I think I don't mind a Mendo, I'll be honest. I don't mind a Mendo.
I don't either. I could eat that
it's
every
totally
day.
Totally fine. I think it's great. So many things to order from. Because I don't like a super heavy lunch. I think people are like, great, or someone's paying for lunch, let's go all out. We'll do like Bledsoes, which obviously I love Bledsoes, but can you do it for lunch?
Yeah.
I don't know. Cause then that's it. I'm out. I'm not gonna.
That's a tough coma afterward.
But again, it's delicious. But sometimes a heavy lunch is like, I'll just be like, I'm just gonna chew. I'm gonna get some nuts and like some greens, and I'm good. I'm fine. Let's just keep going. Let's just keep writing fart jokes. We gotta get this done. That's a little bit our mantra. But you know, you've seen Bridget, cause she loves her almonds.
That's right. That's right. She does. She loves her nuts and her legumes. Please give her my love.
I will.
And this was such a perfect excuse just to see you and catch up.
I know, you guys. This has been a huge honor to be on the show. May I just say,
honored to have you.
Oh my God, long overdue.
Just wonderful. Thank you for meeting so early too.
Please, thank you for being.
Oh,
here.
I love it. It's nice to talk when we're actually all still like caffeinated, and you know, it's before we've had our Bledsoes and we start to crash.
I know. I'm gonna go eat some Bledsoes right now.
There's nothing like a 10 a.m. barbecue.
That's when you eat Bledsoes, okay? Not at lunch, just in the morning.
Breakfast taco. I got some home state breakfast tacos coming my way today.
Oh my gosh. I'm feeling,
this is gonna be a good
those
day.
Those are delish. Oh, those are delish.
They're very good. It's the summer of sweat and sex and home state tacos.
I love it. I love Dave's summer predictions. Yeah,
may they come true.
Vicky, where can people find you online?
I'm just on the gram. I'm on the IG, I think. Is I'm not on Twitter or anything because Twitter scares me.
As it should.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're missing nothing.
And I think it's just at VLU, V-L-U-U is my handle.
You are correct. I'm looking at it now.
No, everyone's going to find me so they could yell at me for all my terrible references on Celebrity Rehab.
Stop it.
No, they're going to celebrate you. I hope so. Thank you for being here, Vicky Lou.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Vicky. Homophilia is a World of Wonder production, produced and edited by Kate Moldenhauer.
Special thanks to Randy Barbato, Fenton Bailey, Steven Sims, Edward Bochniak, and the whole team at World of Wonder.
We love you.
And theme music by my Ben Wise.
Yes, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at HomophiliaPod. You can give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening. We love you.